Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is designed so you can understand the Word of God, find how you need to live God's way, and understand the days in which we are living, and come to a personal relationship of conversion between you and God the Father and Jesus Christ. We have no politics. We don't merchandise anyone. We are supported by tithes and offerings. That is true. But you must prove all things by the Word of God. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Then we also find concerning the Bereans, when they were taught certain things, they got out the scriptures that they had at that time, which was the Old Testament, and they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Now, we're going to begin to understand the focal point of prophecy, which is found in Matthew 24. And from Matthew 24, there are many, many other scriptures in the background which support it. Matthew 24 becomes a key. There are certain assumptions that people make concerning this which are not true. But what I want you to understand is this. Matthew 24 was really intended to be for the end times. Now, there were many things that also happened exactly in the pattern of Matthew 24, leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. And a lot of people, when it talks about, and that generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled, they look at that and say, well, now a generation is 40 years. Because the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and it said in that generation all passed away. They died out. So therefore, a generation is 40 years. And they interpreted applying it to Matthew 24 this way. Jesus' ministry ended in 30 AD. The temple was destroyed in 70 AD. Therefore, it's talking about that generation. Well, we'll find out right here from Matthew 24. Now, we may spend several segments going through Matthew 24 so that we can understand it, so that we can bring in different scriptures which verify and prove what we're talking about. Now, we're going to see some of these things are on a continuous cycle when you read human history. So let's begin Matthew 24 and verse 1. Now, after going out, and that was from the temple, Jesus departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to point out the buildings of the temple. Now, at that time, it was quite a spectacular thing, because you have over here the Mount of Olives, which was higher than the Temple Mount. And you come down the Mount of Olives to the Valley of Kidron, and then you walk up to the area where the temple was located. Where most people think the temple was located, which today is called the Mosque of Omar, that sits supposedly on the temple site, that is not true. That is not the temple site. Now, we'll prove that right here, right when we get started. The true history shows that where the Mosque of Omar is today and assumed to be the temple area was actually the Roman garrison for Jerusalem. The temple was south of that. And let's see how we can identify it here. Verse 2, after pointing out these things, Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, there shall not be left here even a stone upon a stone that shall not be thrown down. Now think about that for a minute. There would be nothing left of where the temple was sitting. Now, Jesus cannot lie because he was God manifested in the flesh, correct? He knows exactly what's going to happen, does he not? Yes, he does. He did here. If you look at the area where the Mosque of Omar is, are there stones upon a stone? Yes, there are. You look at the Western Wailing Wall. What do you see? Mammoth stones that haven't been thrown down. So that should tell us, number one, a very important clue. That's not where the temple stood. That was Fort Antonio, the Roman garrison. Now, from there, coming down to the Temple Mount, they had an elevated causeway on the pillars, coming all the way down, a total of about 600 yards down to the temple, and all around the temple area, Roman guards stood on these colonnades and this walkway. And they were there to protect against riots, because it had been known to have riots in the temple area, and especially with the uprising of the Jews against the Romans. So when Jesus said concerning the temple, there shall not be one stone left upon another stone. Now, when you come south of the area of Fort Antonio, it's all barren. Now, when Jerusalem was conquered in 70 AD, the Roman general Titus did not want the temple burned, didn't intend it to be burned. Now, we'll also talk about an event at the temple which didn't occur, which is the key that will tell us that this is for the end time. We'll see that here in a little bit, but we need to take this step by step as we go along. But when Titus finally was able to get into Jerusalem, after all the terrible events that went on, and so if you are really a history buff, I suggest you get the book of Josephus and read about the fall of Jerusalem back in 586 BC. See what happened there, and then read about it when it fell, beginning with the war in 66 AD to the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, and you are going to be astonished at the slaughter and the bludgeoning and the death and the stacks of bodies. Because you see, the Jews were entrapped at the last battle in 70 AD, the last year of the war, because the word went out to all the Jews, every one of you who can come, every one of you who can come, come to Jerusalem and we'll win the war against the Romans. And if we are all here and we're all offering the sacrifices, the Messiah must come and save us. So they ended up with more than 2 million people in Jerusalem. And all the food supplies became very scarce. And Titus and his armies encircled Jerusalem with their armies and just waited. Then at the right time, the battle began. And there were bodies strewn everywhere, death, famine, everything. It was a horrible destruction. When he finally got up to look down from Fort Antonio into the temple area, he was astonished at the number that were dead. He was astonished that it took them so long to get there. And he said that God was on our side in order to have this conquest. And all the Roman soldiers got down there, and they saw the gold, and they wanted the gold. They're the ones who set it on fire. And all the gold in the temple melted because of all of the cedar and things inside the temple was overlaid with gold. And all of it melted and went down in the cracks of the rocks. So guess what they did to get the gold? Removed every rock. no stone left upon another stone, exactly as Jesus said. Now, we got a little bit ahead of the story, but you need to understand that the words of God, the words of Jesus Christ, and the prophecies of God are true and will be fulfilled exactly as God has said. Now, the disciples wanted to know these things, too. Verse 3, and as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, that's why this is called the Olivet Prophecy, his disciples came to him alone. So he wasn't speaking to all of the people. This was to his disciples. And they said to him, tell us, when shall these things be? How is this going to happen? And what shall be the sign of your coming, number two, and the completion of the age? Now, I want you to pay particular attention to this last sentence. The sign of your coming, because the sign of his coming was not complete in 70 AD. That's why it did not apply to that last generation, only in type. Now, what we're going to learn is this. In many prophecies, there is what is called type and anti-type. Or you could put it this way. First fulfillment, second fulfillment. Or you could put it another way. First fulfillment and cyclical fulfillments after that, based on the vicissitudes of prophecy, based on the vicissitudes of human nature and wars and all of these things. But the key is, when is the final fulfillment going to be? Because notice they said, the sign of your coming. And Jesus hasn't returned. He didn't return in 70 AD. He did not return in 1000 AD. He did not return in 1844. He did not return in 1918. He did not return in 1948. He did not return in 1988 or 89 or 93 or 97 or 98 or 2010 or 2011. So this prophecy is still open. That's what we need to understand. Now let's go on. Completion of the age. The completion of the age means the end of the rule of man and his kingdoms, and the beginning of the rule of Jesus Christ and the resurrected saints, as we have covered in the series, The Kingdom of God. So he began to answer them. Now, some of these prophecies start then and go forward and continue. And in the end time, we will see the fulfillment even magnifies itself much more because there are more human beings. Now, let's read it. Verse 4. Then Jesus answered and said to them, be on guard so that no one deceives you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they shall deceive many. Isn't that true today? We have more Christian religions and denominations than ever before. Isn't that true? But they're deceiving people. Now, we've covered how they've been deceiving them, because they've been conquered by paganism, and paganism has been accepted as Christianity. Because, you see, human nature is such, the human nature likes to say, me deceived? Oh, no, I'm not deceived. What do you mean by that? Well, I'm a good Christian. I go to church every Sunday. Oh, yes, I'm a good Catholic. Well, I don't go to church every Sunday, but I make it every Christmas and every Easter. That's the minimum, so, you know, and we have Christian principles, but does that make you a Christian? Or what are we viewing but a counterfeit that looks like Christ, but is not? It sounds like Christ, but is not. That uses the name of Christ, but it is not. See, because lies have been accepted as truth, and truth has been branded as lies. everything is upside down, topsy-turvy, and in order to find the truth, you need to go to the Word of God. And let me tell you something else, too, which is true. Even in some places in the Word of God, men have tried to come and adjust it so that it would fit their tradition. Well, that's why we have the Holy Bible in its original order, a faithful version, because we love God, we love Jesus Christ, we love the truth of God, and we want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and that's what we preach. That's why here at Church at Home, no politics. The thing we need to understand is the Word of God. We need to understand what we need to do, what we need to repent of. We're not going to save ourselves. Political movement's not going to save itself. Religion in this world, even getting together as a one-world religion, isn't going to save the world. Jesus Christ is going to save the world, and He has called us to participate in that. But look at the world we are in, so deceived. Here is this quote from Dresden James. When a well-packaged web of lies has been sold gradually to the masses over generations, the truth will seem utterly preposterous, and its speaker a raving lunatic. Is that not true? Does that not happen? Is that not where the world is today? Think about it. Right there that Jesus said, be on guard so that no one deceives you. See, because if anyone comes and says, you don't need to keep the commandments of God, you don't need to keep the Sabbath, you don't need to keep the holy days, you don't need to be baptized, just believe in your heart and you're saved, they're deceiving you because they're only taking you to the first step. And all of it is the journey of your life, not the first step. Where it says they shall deceive the many, that means the majority. Have the majority of people been deceived? Ho! Who knows the truth? If you don't know the Bible, you don't know the truth. Verse 6, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Boy, doesn't that sound like nightly television? Yes, it does. Doesn't that sound like this last century that we just ended? Wars every generation, right? Yes. Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, and in between that there were other wars. And then we had the Korean War, and then we had the Vietnam War, and in between that there are many other wars, right? We're here, there's going to be a war over there. We hear there's going to be a war over here. Now let's stop and think for just a minute. Outside of the modern-day communication that we have, let's strip away all the electronics. Let's think of a time when there was no way for news to travel but by donkey back or by sailboat. If there was a war on the other side of the world, would you know of it? No, you probably live your whole life, never understand it, right? But today we can understand it, can't we? Because you can watch your television, you can listen to your radio, you can read a newspaper, you can read quarterlies and journals and magazines, and you see wars and rumors of war, right? See, this was set for today's end-time modern communications. Because we're talking about worldwide events. All right, let's go on. Then he tells us, see that you do not let these things disturb you, for it's necessary that all these things take place, but the end is not yet. Now, men have been thinking, oh, the end is near. Well, the truth is, it's closer than it has been, but it may be further away than you think. That's why in understanding the prophecies, you have to understand what? By sequence of events. And you have to have all of the events, not part of them, We'll see that a little later, right here in Matthew 24. And this becomes the key to understanding the prophecies for today. Verse 7, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in different places. Just gave you the nightly news right there, correct? Yes. Are these things taking place today? Yes. Does all the world know of all of these things at the same time? Regardless where you are on the face of the earth today, you know this, don't you? Recently, there was a big earthquake down in New Zealand. Whew! World knew it immediately, right? Rapid communication. Zoom. Alert. Special news. Running a ticker. Mammoth earthquake. In New Zealand, or Indonesia, or Pakistan, or California, or Alaska, or Hawaii, or Chile, or Haiti. We know right away, don't we? See, that was made for today with rapid communication. Verse 8, now all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Now, put yourself back in the days of the apostles, when there were wars and rumors of wars circulating around the area of Jerusalem. Did they know of wars in China, or Russia, or in India, or in Africa, or in the Western Hemisphere between native tribes? Of course not. They didn't know that, see? These are the beginning of sorrows. Now, we have the typical fulfillment, that which takes place as a first fulfillment. Then we have the cyclical fulfillment. Have we not had cyclical fulfillments of these? Nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom and famines and pestilence and earthquakes? Yes. But the end is not yet. Other things have to take place. And we're going to see that in order to understand when the tribulation will begin, there is one key signal event that must take place, which is not a typical, antitypical fulfillment, but it is a singular event. And in 70 AD, or in the war between the Romans and the Jews, and the time just prior to it, this event did not take place. And it's right here in Matthew 24. We're going to see it take place probably in our day. Now, some of us are a little older, so we're going to come to the end of our lives. But there's always that last generation that's going to come, and it's going to happen. It's going to take place. And every single prophecy in the Bible and every single prophecy of Jesus Christ is going to take place exactly as he said. Now let's go on. Then they shall deliver you up to affliction and shall kill you, and you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now let's look at it. Were Christians delivered up to be killed? Yes. We even find that recorded in the book of Acts, don't we? Down through history, have we seen it? Yes. Do we have a history of it? Yes. We have Fox's Book of Martyrs? Yes. Do we have that great evil church that calls itself Christian killing true Christians because they wouldn't conform to the doctrines of that evil church? Millions of them? Yes. It's written in the Fox's Book of Martyrs, not the little thin summary. I've got the copies of the three originals, and they stand about this tall, laid on their side. Account after account after account after account, how they were delivered up to be killed. It's going to happen again. So this was also cyclical. let's examine something else that it says here. And you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now, that didn't happen in 70 AD, and that did not happen all down through history until we get to the end time, all nations. So you're going to find a lot of new understanding out of Matthew 24, because we need to look at it the way that it was written and recorded and what Jesus actually said. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and go to our other website, cbcg.org, and download the two sermons that I've just done recently, Prophecy Being Fulfilled Today, number one and number two. You're going to be astonished. So thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.